Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields. Welcome once more to Food for the Journey. I want to begin today by reading the entrance antiphon and the opening prayer called the Collect, when, in a sense, all of our prayers are brought together as we begin the liturgy. It's the Collect. It's a gathering of all of the intentions on our heart. And then the church puts the words around it to pray, but it's not just the priest's prayer, it's our prayer together before the face of God. And that prayer is this: O God, who teach us that you abide in hearts that are just and true. I'm going to read that again. O God, who teach us that you abide in hearts that are just and true, grant that we may be so fashioned by your grace as to become a dwelling pleasing to you. It's probably a poor analogy, but the closest I can get to it at the moment is to say, it's like each of us, when we're in the state of grace, is like a living tabernacle. And I don't think we recognize that God really does dwell within us. And that is so much of what this prayer says: grant that we may be so fashioned by your grace as to become a dwelling pleasing to you. And the entrance antiphon for today at the beginning of Mass: be my protector, O God, a mighty stronghold to save me. For you are my rock, my stronghold. Lead me, guide me for the sake of your name. Those two, the entrance antiphon and the collect, the opening prayer of Mass, could be our prayer every day. God, be my protector, and you abide in me. Help me, Lord, to become a dwelling pleasing to you. Let's make those prayers our own and make copies of that prayer. Memorize it. Keep it close to your heart. And thank him. Thank him. Thank him as much as you can throughout the day for all that he has done for us and will do for us, and all that we won't fully understand, actually, until we see him face to face. We continue now with the book of Genesis, this time chapter 8, verses 6 to 13 and 20 to 22. At the end of 40 days, remember, the floods had come. We read about that. And now at the end of 40 days, Noah opened the hatch he had made in the ark. And he sent out a raven to see if the waters had lessened on the earth. It flew back and forth until the waters dried off from the earth. And then he sent out a dove to see if the waters had lessened on the earth. But the dove could find no place to alight and perch, and it returned to him in the ark, for there was water all over the earth. Putting out his hand, he caught the dove and drew it back to him inside the ark. He waited 7 days more, and again sent the dove out from the ark. In the evening, the dove came back to him, and there in its bill was a plucked-off olive leaf, which meant that things were growing. So Noah knew that the waters had lessened on the earth. He waited another 7 days, and then released the dove once more. And this time, it did not come back. It had found a place to roost. It had found a place to live. The waters had lessened on the earth. In the 601st year of Noah's life, in the first month, on the first day of the month, the water began to dry up on the earth. And Noah then removed the covering of the ark and saw that the surface of the ground was drying up. Noah built an altar to the Lord, and choosing from every clean animal and every clean bird, he offered burnt offerings on the altar. When the Lord smelled the sweet odor, he said to himself, "Never again will I doom the earth because of man, since the desires of man's heart are evil from the start. Nor will I ever again strike down all living things as I have done. As long as the earth lasts, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease." The Lord promised not to destroy the earth again. Are we living up to our relationship with the Lord? Do we acknowledge Him as Father, Savior? Do we acknowledge His presence in our lives? Do we follow His teaching, His commandments? If we choose to abandon Him, what do? We expose the earth to be destroyed. But Psalm 116 says, "To you, Lord, I will offer a sacrifice of praise. How shall I make a return to the Lord for all the good He has done for me? The cup of salvation I will take up. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will acknowledge that I need to be saved and that I have been saved. Jesus has saved me. My vows to the Lord I will pay in the presence of all His people. My commitments as a Christian. Am I living up to them? My marriage vows. My vows in religious life and priesthood. Wherever vows are made, my vows to the Lord I will pay in the presence of all His people. My vows to the Lord I will pay in the courts of the house of the Lord in your midst, O Jerusalem. I will follow you, Lord. I will obey you." We need to make, in our own personal lives, we need to make some clear statements of faith and some clear commitments to follow the Lord. We need to do it for ourselves. God hears every word. God knows. But there's a way we need to do it for ourselves as well, to declare that I will put my feet on the path of the Lord, that I have a purpose, that I have a call from God, that I will live it out. That's what's needed today. Not just drifting. And the Gospel of Mark is taken from Mark chapter 8, verses 22 to 26. When Jesus and His disciples arrived at Bethsaida, people brought to Him a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village, and he went a little distance from the crowd, putting spittle on his eyes. You can... can imagine that would be a little difficult. Putting spittle on his eyes, he laid his hands on the man and asked, "Do you see anything?" Looking up, the man replied, I see people looking like trees and walking." So he laid hands on the man's eyes a second time, and he saw clearly. His sight was restored. He could see everything distinctly. And then Jesus sent him home and said, "Do not even go into the village." In other words, they weren't necessarily people of faith. It was going to create quite a ruckus when this man that they knew to be blind could see. He knew there would be ruckus. And he knew that out of that would come jealousy and envy, and that the Pharisees would attack him even more. He wanted to stay alive and free right now because his mission had not yet been accomplished. So he was being prudent. But of course the word spreads eventually. But Jesus had a little bit of time to get to where there was greater safety or hiddenness or time to be alone with his Father in heaven. These were difficult times, brothers and sisters. These are very difficult times for Jesus. Times where, what do I do? Having to make judgments. Do I stay here? Do I allow this to be public? Do I, as he did sometimes, he would just depart and he would hide because he didn't want to. I mean, the Pharisees knew he was around. Of course they did. But he didn't want to cause an altercation. He didn't want to cause a clash before he had accomplished the Father's will. Brothers and sisters, do you ask the Lord in your own life, in your own heart, do you come before the Lord and say, "Lord, you have been good to me. You have given me gifts. How do you want me to use them? How do you want to be glorified? How do you want to be honored? Let me give you a personal example. I have in front of me a number of invitations to speak, most of them here in this country, some of them overseas. It's easy to look at all these invitations and to say, oh, I'd like to do this, or I'd like to go there, or haven't been here, I would like to do this. Do you hear? That would just be the worldly picture. What I have to do is go to the Lord and say, Lord, which of these do you want me to accept? You know the needs of people in every one of these places. Which ones do you want me to accept? And just give God a chance. Sometimes In the end, I don't have any clear sense one way or the other, and so I accept them in the chronological order in which they were given to me. But sometimes I get a very strong sense that I should accept this and not accept the other. Not because one is bad and one is good, but because of what God sees is the need in that area, a need I cannot see. I take everything to him. What do you want of me, Lord? I think it behooves all of us to do that. Could be anything, just decisions that we're going to be making in the family, decisions in the workplace, and decisions among a group of friends that I associate with. But always going to the Lord and saying, Lord, what do you want? And if you don't sense anything, then just go ahead and make the decision, but give God a day or two. See if there's anything in particular that you should pay attention to. That's not over-spiritualizing. God wants to work in us and through us, and he knows the very circumstances into which we go. He knows them all. He knows them infinitely better than anyone else. And he knows where he can use us, really use us. So if we put our trust in him, saying, Lord, you show me, doesn't mean that if there's silence over a period of a couple of days, then go ahead and make the best decision you can think of. That's fine. There's no problem. Give God the chance is what I'm saying. If he wants to direct or redirect something in whatever we're doing, but especially in times of decisions in the family, in the workplace, all the aspects of our lives, vocation decisions, we need to bring before the Lord our needs and ask him to lead us and guide us. He longs to do that. He who created the heavens and the earth, he who has given us after the flood second chances. My goodness, brothers and sisters, can we please learn? Take everything to him. Give him time. Not only just in our prayer, but in adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, in receiving Holy Communion as often as we can. Allow God to feed us and nourish us and strengthen us that we might be more and more truly his disciples. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, to obtain my free booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That is 1-800-282-4789, Faith More Precious Than Gold, or go to our website, renewalministries.net, and then click on Free Booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold.